The word of the Lord recorded in chapters 6 to 9 of Genesis is a familiar story, a divine epic. In its verses, we find the range of the human condition plumbed. There is comedy and tragedy, depravity and piety. First, the comedy. In Bill Cosby's A Very Funny Fellow, released in 1963, lest I give my age away, we find the following conversation recorded between the Lord and Noah, as Noah is doing some home improvement in his rec room. Noah? Somebody call? Noah? Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood. Build it 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about it, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world and collect all the animals in the world, two by two, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this, really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all of these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. How you gonna do it? I'm going to make it rain 4,000 days and drown them right out. Right. But I've got a better idea, Lord. You can save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up. Right, Noah. The laughter that you have exhibited in response to this Bill Cosby routine is probably not unlike the comedy produced by those who lived in Noah's day and watched him build the ark. Can you imagine what they must have thought of this zoological barge that covered 1.5 football fields and reached as high as the top of this chapel? Yet, despite all of these comics walking by and commenting on Noah's progress, he persevered. And St. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. And it is in Hebrews it is stated that Noah, by faith, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world. Even if the words of this preacher of righteousness had not been many, the building of the ark was a thunderous testimony to a godless age. And we are called to preach in a culture that thrives on similar godlessness and comedy. In the suburbs of America, I watch each Sunday morning as people arise and trudge to the mailbox for the Sunday comic section and the sports page. But fewer and fewer travel to the house of God. And many of those who do expect to be entertained as worship becomes yet another spectator sport. Dante calls his story about the journey of the soul the divine comedy, because his literary treatment is base and low and uses the vernacular. Our comedy, you see, often reflects our depravity. One of the Bible's most vivid descriptions of total depravity comes in these chapters of Genesis. It should be no surprise, then, that our Lutheran forebears drew upon these passages from Genesis as they confess original sin in the Epitome and the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord. In the Epitome of the Formula, we read, "For original sin is not a sin which man commits. It inheres in the nature, substance, and essence of man in such a way that even if no evil thought would ever arise in the heart of corrupted man, no idle word were ever spoken, or a wicked act or deed take place, nevertheless, Man's nature is corrupted through original sin, innate in us through our sinful seed, and the source of all other actual sins, such as evil thoughts, words, and deeds. And then the formula goes on in the epitome to say, as it is written, and it references Genesis 6, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Genesis 6:12, and God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And again in Genesis 8, the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And because man's nature remained unchanged, things were no better after the flood. The corrupt original nature of Noah soon led him to an evil deed, even though he was the most righteous of his time. In chapter 9, then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside of his tent. The world of Noah and our world today stands in sharp contrast to God's original creation. At the end of the 6 days of creation, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The sin of Adam and Eve forced them from paradise. The depravity of the world at the time of Noah brought about tragedy. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, they were having a great time, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. God blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left, together with those who were with him in the ark. Christ goes on to use this flood scene as a type of the end of the world. The days leading up to Judgment Day, our Lord says, will be deceptively normal, and God's great judgment will come unexpectedly, just as the judgment of the flood. The ancients, the classicists, used tragedy to get to the greater things in life. Hidden in the tragedy of the flood is the righteous judgment of God. The judgment foreshadowed the tragedy of the cross, on which God blotted out the sins of the world. If not for the hiddenness of God in the tragedy of the cross, we sinful beings would also be blotted out. With the psalmist David, we pray, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Our Lord hears us. From the cross to the baptismal font flows our faith and our piety. Despite the comedy, the depravity, and the tragedy pointed out this morning, note the name that Moses gives to this section of his book. He doesn't call it the disaster of the flood. Rather, he calls it the account of Noah. Moses emphasizes the deliverance God accomplished through Noah. The same water which drowned billions of screaming, blaspheming unbelievers lifted the ark with its precious cargo high above all the death and the destruction. In Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, it is said of Noah, "By faith, he, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Like Enoch before him, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in the eyes of God. Noah walked with God. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this favor is God's grace, his unmerited love, which is accepted by faith. This grace not only gave Noah something he did not deserve, it gave him the very opposite of what he did deserve. God not only delivered Noah and his family from the waters of the flood, he actually used them to continue the line of Adam and Seth. And it was from that slender thread that God's promise of the woman's offspring hung. It was through Noah's offspring that a merciful God kept that important promise. And the fruit of that promise flows to us in our baptism. Luther, in his 1523 and 1526 order of baptism, includes a prayer for the congregation, and it captures the use of the flood as it applies it to baptism. Hear these words of the baptismal prayer. Almighty eternal God, who according to your righteous judgment condemned the unbelieving world through the flood, and in your great mercy saved Noah and his family, and who drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh with all his army in the Red Sea, and led your people Israel through the same sea on dry ground, thereby prefiguring this washing of holy baptism, and who, through the baptism of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has consecrated and set apart the Jordan and all water to be a saving flood and a rich and full washing away of sins, we pray through the same your boundless mercy, that you would graciously behold the individual being baptized and bless him with true faith in the Spirit, so that by means of this saving flood, all that has been born in him from Adam and which he has added thereto may be drowned in him and engulfed, and that may be sundered from the number of the unbelieving, saved dry and secure in the holy ark of Christendom. Serve your name at all times, fervent in spirit and joyful in hope, so that with all believers he may be made worthy to attain eternal life according to your promise. At the heart of continuing in the promise delivered to us in baptism is walking with God as Enoch did and Noah did. The worship life of this community provides daily opportunity for us to walk with God, to draw near to him, to feast on his word, and to eat and drink his life-giving body and blood. When the account of our lives is written, what will we find? A comedy? Yes. A tragedy? Yes. Diseased with depravity? Yes. Filled with faith and piety? Yes, with the help of God. Amen.